You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Hey everybody, it's Wednesday, September 27th, 2023. Welcome to the NFL Fantasy Football Show. It's me, your man, MG Marcus Grant, joined by Michael F. Florio. Today we're previewing Thursday Night Football and the early Sunday games from Week 4, plus we're fishing for some streamers coming up this week. Florio, Week 4 is beginning. So at this point, we have three data points for everybody around the league. So we pretty much know what we're doing, right? It's a given now.
One thing is for sure, no one on the internet is freaking out one way or the other about their players.
Not at all. Everybody is level-headed and calm and rational about the whole thing. We got plenty to talk about on the show today. Still to come, we are giving you our fantasy heroes and previewing the entire Week 4 slate. Let's start, as we always do, with some fantasy headlines. One headline of note, Jimmy Garoppolo is in concussion protocol. That was announced by head coach Josh McDaniels after the Raiders' loss on Sunday Night Football to the Steelers. Now, the Raiders are optimistic that Jimmy G will be ready to go for this week's game against the Chargers. But just in case he's not, Brian Hoyer or Aiden O'Connell waiting in the wings, how much does this impact guys like Davante Adams or Jacoby Myers?
It makes the floor a little bit lower, probably the ceiling lower as well for Davante Adams, but he is Davante Adams. He is dropping 40 points every week, regardless of who his quarterback is. So you want to get Davante Adams into your fantasy lineup, especially against the Chargers, one of the best matchups for wide receivers. He went over 30 points in each game against them last season. Jacoby Myers is a sleeper that I like this week, a streaming option. If Jimmy G plays, but if it's Hoyer or someone else, I would get away from Jacoby Myers.
You know, it really sort of makes me nervous because I like Jacoby Myers as a sleeper against the Chargers in what could be a back and forth game. I'd feel a lot better about it if it was Jimmy Garoppolo. I guess the upside is that so far, this has been a very narrowly funneled passing game. It's been Adams. It's been Myers. That's pretty much been it. So I think I'd like to believe, at least, whoever the quarterback is, if it's Garoppolo, if it's Hoyer, if it's O'Connell, they'll sort of keep that same pass funnel going. But the fear is that they decide to lean on Josh Jacobs, who's still not off to the best start, but maybe starts to turn things around against the Chargers' run defense. So that's a look at what could be happening this weekend. Let's look at what might be happening on Thursday night, our TNF game preview. A matchup in the NFC North between the Detroit Lions and the Green Bay Packers. You can see that game 8:15 Eastern on Prime Video. Jahmyr Gibbs off to a pretty nice start so far this season for the Lions. Let's play a little more or less. 65 total yards for Jahmyr Gibbs against the Green Bay Packers.
More. I'm excited for Jahmyr Gibbs in this matchup. I know David Montgomery could be suiting up, but last week without him, we saw more Gibbs than ever before. A lot of work went his way, so I'm hopeful that the Lions will keep beating him even with Montgomery back. And it is a good matchup. The Packers are allowing an average of 100 rush yards per game to running backs this season, plus they're in the top four in targets, catches, and receiving yards allowed. And we know that that is where Jahmyr Gibbs can really excel in this offense.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think it's more for Jahmyr Gibbs this week. And I think even with David Montgomery back, Gibbs is going to get a whole lot of work. I think especially in the passing game, Packers have given up a lot of yards to running backs catching the football out of the backfield. And even though both Montgomery and Gibbs contribute in that area, I think Gibbs is the guy who's more explosive. I think he's going to get more targets. And I think yards after the catch, a big part of what he's going to do. So I say more than 65 total yards for Jahmyr Gibbs on Thursday night against Green Bay. On the Packers side of things, we're still waiting to see if Christian Watson is going to play. Green Bay is optimistic about it. But in the meantime, would you rather Romeo Doubs or Jaden Reed?
It's kind of a cop-out answer. Right now, I would rather Romeo Doubs. He's playing in two wide receiver sets. He seems to be their go-to option in the red zone. But I still think long-term, Jaden Reed will win out here. He is the player that I just believe is the better talent of the two. We've seen him put up a lot of numbers in a very limited role so far. I'm hopeful that as the season progresses, he could get more run and maybe even work his way into two wide receiver sets.
Yeah, this week for sure, I'm all about Romeo Dobbs. Now, it depends what happens with Christian Watson, but Dobbs is the guy who's getting more of the looks near the end zone, and I think that makes the difference. In terms of a lot of the other metrics, they're very similar between Dobbs and Jaden Reed, but that touchdown upside is really what makes a big difference. And in a game that, again, could be a high-scoring contest between these two teams, Dobbs is the guy with more touchdown upside. I'm sort of with you, though. I think in the long term, I've been big on Jaden Reed. I think he's got a higher ceiling, but certainly in the short term, it seems like Dobbs is going to be the answer. Let's get now to the start of the Sunday slate, and it starts really early, especially if you're out here on the West Coast. A game in London, the Falcons at the Jaguars. Jaguars are the home team in this one, but Atlanta, trying to make itself at home, I guess. Look, with the Jaguars, it has not been a great start to the season offensively. They have been just sort of meh to this point. How are you handling the passing attack, Trevor Lawrence and all of his weapons there?
I think Calvin Ridley is still a must-start option. Christian Kirk has been getting enough volume that I think he is someone you want to put in your lineup. Same thing with Evan Ingram, because tight ends as well. All three of them, I believe, have 173 yards right now, which is pretty wild. 173 exactly, too. It's not like they're all around that. And then Trevor Lawrence, I know he hasn't played great. I'm willing to give him another shot here. I think this is a better matchup.
Right now, Trevor Lawrence is sort of a fringe QB1, high-end QB2. He's a guy that you're absolutely starting in multiple quarterback formats, but he's a guy that if you have another quarterback on your roster, you're probably looking really hard at whether or not you want to start him. And you know, this is it's not the worst matchup. It's not the best one either. Atlanta has been decent against quarterbacks so far this season. You mentioned Evan Ingram, and this sort of caught me by surprise. Evan Ingram right now is the tight end 4, and I don't think we've talked about that a whole lot. I mean, some of it has to do with tight ends just being sort of a shallow position. Some of it has to do with the fact that Ingram has been fairly consistent over the first 3 weeks of the season. I think he is an absolute must start this week against the Falcons defense that has not been particularly great against tight ends. I think, as you mentioned, you start Calvin Ridley. As for everybody else, it's sort of up in the air whether you're starting any Jaguars pass catchers this week. The game that could be, that I think will be, the fantasy game of the week, Dolphins at Bills. These two teams combined to score 107 points last week. 70 of them were on one side. In theory, should be an offensive showcase. Is there anybody you're not starting in this one?
Both quarterbacks are must start. I have both Dolphins running backs as starts this week. James Cook as a start. Diggs is going to go off. You're starting Hill. You're starting Waddle, who actually had the bigger games of the Miami receivers against the Bills last season. The Dolphins don't have a tight end, so you can't start them. Dawson Knox, I'm okay getting away from. Kincaid, I think this is a sneaky week for Kincaid. They're going to need someone to step up and be like the chain mover there opposite of Diggs. I think it will be him. Gabe Davis is, I know he's always boom or bust, but if there's any week he's going to go boom, it is this one. It is the two highest scoring offenses. And I know the Bills defense is on paper the best defense in football. That's largely because of who they played, Sam Howell, Jimmy G, and Zach Wilson. This is going to be the hardest test. I think this is going to be an absolute score fest, like every game. The last two, especially, were last season. You want as much exposure to this game as you can get.
You absolutely do. The only thing that has me sort of scratching my head a little bit is the Bills tight end situation, just because between Dalton Kincaid and Dawson Knox, they have been equal, right? But they've been equally sort of mediocre. Like if you combined them, if they formed like Voltron, they would be an awesome tight end. But right now they're sort of both producing about the same level and neither one of them is all that exciting. So that's maybe the only place that I would have a little bit of concern, but wide receivers, running backs, quarterbacks, everybody else in play on both sides of this game. Also just interested to see what Devon Achane does in the as the encore, right? I mean, he went out and scored 51 points last week. I don't think anybody's expecting that to happen again. But, what happens when he plays in a game that looks more like a normal game and not like an early season SEC non-conference matchup? So we'll see what happens with that one coming up on Sunday. Vikings at the Panthers. We got a little bit of an Adam Thielen revenge game after he went off last week against the Seattle Seahawks. Who's going to score more, though? Is it going to be Thielen against his old club? Or is it going to be Jordan Addison, the guy who sort of took his spot in Minnesota?
Yeah, Thielen versus replacement. And if you asked me coming into the season or even 2 weeks ago, I would have been like, hey, Jordan Addison for sure. But Adam Thielen has really stepped up as of late, so give me him. I know last week, 145 yards, a touchdown, caught 11 of his 14 targets, and some people might be like, oh, well, that was with Andy Dalton. Don't overlook that the week prior, he had 9 targets, 7 catches, and caught a touchdown with Bryce Young. He has looked like he has ran away as the top wide receiver here for the Panthers and the Vikings. They've given up the third most yards to wide receivers, a whole bunch of production. And like I said, a little added motivation here because it is a revenge game and a week full of revenge games.
Showing potentially for Adam Thielen. I like Thielen this week, and I know on some level it feels kind of like chasing the points after the big week he had in week 3 against Seattle. But I think the bigger point is he's a guy who can get open and earn targets. And one of the big talking points about the Panthers offense after the first couple of weeks was that they couldn't get any of their wide receivers open. But you got a veteran guy in Adam Thielen who's been doing it for a long time. He knows how to earn those targets. And right now he's sort of the only guy that's doing that consistently. So whether it's Andy Dalton, whether it's Bryce Young, I don't really care. I think Thielen, for the short term at least, is the number one wide receiver in Carolina. And in a game where they're going to have to throw the football, he's going to get a whole lot of work. Broncos at the Bears. Mentioned the fact that the Dolphins scored 70 points against the Broncos last week. The Bears gave up 41 to the Kansas City Chiefs. And now these two teams get to face off against each other. As I think I mentioned earlier in the week, and I know our pal Matt Okada wrote it as well, it is the movable force against the stoppable object, or stoppable force against the movable object. Either way, these teams are on the struggle bus right now. Do you trust the matchup in this one, or do you avoid your Bears like, say, Justin Fields or DJ Moore or anybody like that?
I'm going to trust the matchup and give my Bears one more opportunity. Unless somehow you got another stud quarterback on your roster, I think you give Justin Fields another opportunity. We saw him running more last week, which I love, but it's all about the matchup. The Broncos have allowed the most passing touchdowns, the most rushing touchdowns, the fourth most passing yards, and the most rushing yards in the NFL. And even with this Bears offense struggling, DJ Moore has done his thing. So I think Fields and Moore are in play. I think that Herbert and Roschon Johnson are sleepers in this one. And while we're at this game, let's just give Russ a little love too. Russ is in play this week. He has been playing great himself as of late and has a good matchup.
I think it's interesting because obviously the whole talk about the Broncos last week was them giving up 70 points and getting absolutely drilled. And it sort of overshadowed the fact that Russell Wilson had 300 yards for the second straight game. I did have one touchdown pass, probably could have had a couple more, had two of them that were called back by penalty. You had Cortland Sutton kill a couple of drives by losing fumbles. So it could have been a slightly better day for Russell Wilson had the guys around him helped him out a little bit more. Look, I know they're talking about sort of whether or not he's the issue. I'm not sure he is, but he might be the scapegoat in this one. A couple other guys I like. You mentioned Justin Fields. He was a big part of the running game, especially with a lot of designed runs. That's something that is noteworthy there. Roschon Johnson, maybe a bit of a deep sleeper in this one, just if he gets some targets out of the backfield, can catch the football. He's getting a lot of that short yardage goal line area work as well over Khalil Herbert. So if the Bears can get down close, maybe he's able to punch a couple in and has some deep sleeper potential there. Ravens and the Browns. If you want to know the definition of the word slobber knocker, that's probably this game. A couple of teams that don't like each other that hit very hard. I don't think it's going to be pretty, but it's going to be competitive. So Ravens at Browns, how are you feeling about Deshaun Watson and the Browns? First 2 weeks were ugly. Week 3 looked a little bit better. How are you feeling about them in week 4?
Not great. I think this is going to be the hardest test for Watson and the Browns offense so far this season. You mentioned that when these teams, in this division, whenever any of these teams face, it is always more of a defensive battle, hard hitting. And the Ravens have allowed just 230 passing yards per game, and they're allowing 5.4 passing yards per attempt. And I know Watson has had two good fantasy games, but watching him play, he does not look like the Watson of old. And it's been pretty disappointing because I invested heavily into this Browns offense at points. Amari Cooper is a must-start option. I think Jerome Ford is in play. I try to get away from the rest of my Browns this week.
Which I agree with all of that. And what makes me sad is that I keep trying to prop up Elijah Moore as a sleeper potential. And maybe he is. The reason I can sort of believe in Elijah Moore this week is because the Ravens are really beat up, especially on the defensive side of the football and in the secondary. And that might give Elijah Moore some opportunity. To this point, Amari Cooper has been the only pass catcher you can trust there in Cleveland. And I think what we're going to find out is, was week three the start of the Browns offense turning a corner, or was it just because they got to play the Tennessee Titans that Deshaun Watson and the passing game looked good? So I think we'll get a better clue about that after this game against the Baltimore Ravens. In case you are looking for some quarterback help, or maybe a tight end, or maybe a defense, we're going to help you out. We got some streaming options coming up for you, plus more of our week four preview coming up after the break on the NFL Fantasy Football Show.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think he could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
I'm not guarding like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college? Because it ain't it.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is about the time of the season when you got to start streaming, guys. Maybe somebody is underperforming, maybe somebody is injured, and you got to find a replacement. So we're calling this segment Field and Stream. Looking at some quarterbacks, tight ends, and defenses that maybe you can pick up and plug in a pinch. So let's start at the quarterback position. Who's somebody that people could think about streaming this week?
Russell Wilson. And I know we talked about him a little bit. Maybe he's not available in your league. Hopefully you picked him up off the waiver wire already. Whether you're elevating him from the waiver wire or your bench, I think he should be started this week. Russell Wilson's been playing good, over 300 yards in two straight games, multiple passing touchdowns in two out of three. And as you heard Marcus saying, it could have been much more last week. I love that he showed us 2 weeks ago he could still running for 56 yards. And don't look now, but since he's been freed of Nathaniel Hackett, he's been averaging over 19 fantasy points per game. But this is all about the matchup, too. The Bears have allowed the fifth most passing yards, third most touchdowns. And in each of their games, they've allowed somewhere between 27 and 41 points to be scored against them. You want to start quarterbacks against the Bears.
Absolutely want to start quarterbacks against the Bears. I'm going to keep the 2019 vibes going and say that Andy Dalton, at least for this week, is back in our fantasy lives. Who would have thought? Of course, this is contingent on Bryce Young's status, so we'll keep an eye on that. But Dalton went out and looked pretty good last week against the Seattle Seahawks. Threw the ball 58 times. I wouldn't expect that to continue. That was in large part because the Panthers not only were trailing on the scoreboard, but constantly behind the sticks. 8 false starts meant that they really couldn't run the ball the way they wanted to. But this week, even if they are sort of on time with down and distance, the Vikings have been giving up a whole lot of yards and touchdowns to the quarterback position. The Panthers, even in the best of times, have struggled to run the football. So this could be another week that they rely on the arm of the Red Rifle. And if you need a quarterback, or if you're in a 2-quarterback league, Andy Dalton could be the guy for you. Tight ends. Always tough. I mean, there are a lot of people out there who are living that streaming tight end life, regardless of what their draft strategy was. Who's a tight end that they can pick up and play this week?
Luke Musgrave on Thursday night against the Detroit Lions. He was a top 10 fantasy tight end last week, caught 6 of his 8 targets for 49 yards and just under 11 fantasy points. But what I love is the opportunity that he's been getting. The 8 target stands out. He's been leading the Packers in routes ran. He leads their pass catchers in snaps played. And now he gets the Lions, who've allowed by far the most catches and yards to the tight end position. And I know I made that case for Kyle Pitts against this Lions team last week. He didn't have a huge game, but combined, the Falcons tight ends gave you over 17 fantasy points. That's a good output for a tight end.
Absolutely a good output for a tight end. I think he's kind of been Sam Laporta light. He's actually run more routes, or at least has a higher route participation percentage, a higher target share too so far. So I like Luke Musgrave. I also like Gerald Everett, friend of the program, and it has been a great start to the year for him, mostly because it seems like every time they get close to the end zone, Donald Parham shows up and takes away his touchdowns. But when it comes to routes and targets, it's Everett that's leading the tight end position there for the Chargers. Now, we'll see what happens with Austin Ekeler. He was back at practice on Wednesday and is pushing to play. But even if he does play, a lot of that short area yardage that the Chargers want to use in the passing game, I think it's going to go to Gerald Everett here. So as long as we can just get him some targets near the end zone, I think everything's going to be fine. The Raiders have consistently struggled against the tight end position. Justin Herbert has carved up the Raiders in his career. So a lot of targets, I think a lot of completions, and I think a few of them hopefully go to Gerald Everett. Squeaky wheel gets the grease, Gerald. Go complain. Maybe they'll get you a touchdown or two this week. Looking at defenses to stream, who do you like?
The Cincinnati Bengals going up against the Tennessee Titans. So far this season, the Titans have taken 13 sacks. That is tied with the Bears for the second most in the NFL. And they have 3 interceptions thrown, just 1 passing touchdown all year. I don't think you have to worry a whole lot about them lighting up the Bengals. And if Joe Burrow is struggling himself, this could be a low-scoring affair. So I'm streaming them in a number of places. I think you guys should do the same.
The Titans offense has been shockingly bad to start the season. I love the Bengals call right there. I'm going to go with the Seattle Seahawks. And the Giants are not maybe the soft target as an offense that some other teams are, but they do turn the ball over a lot. And they have given up some sacks with Daniel Jones there. So we'll see what happens if Saquon Barkley is able to play. But the Giants offense has not really been able to be consistent this season. Interesting game, I think, at MetLife Stadium coming up on Monday night. But if you are really in a pinch and you need a defense to start, think about the Seahawks as one you can plug in against Big Blue. Back now to the rest of our game previews. We got the Steelers and the Texans, and we've loved the Houston passing game the first 3 weeks of the season. Are Nico Collins and Tank Dell both in play this week against the pretty good Pittsburgh defense?
I think so, and I know people might be like, but you have C.J. Stroud as a sit, and I write in the article, like, to me, this is a big test for C.J. Stroud because he's going to be playing under a lot of pressure, I think, but if he plays well in this game, then I think you have a weekly starter on your hands. But the difference is, there's a big difference between a quarterback and a wide receiver. At wide receiver, we start 36, 48 players potentially at that position, and the upside is too high to get away, in my opinion, from Tank Dell, who's given you over 20 fantasy points in 2 straight. Nico Collins, who gave you over 20 in each of the first 2 games. I would keep riding with the wide receivers, even if I don't feel great about the quarterback.
I know people are probably disappointed because Nico Collins didn't provide much last week. I think that's the nature of wide receivers. And Nico Collins, we're not expecting, you know, weekly Justin Jefferson type production, right? There are going to be highs and lows with Nico Collins. There are going to be highs and lows with Tank Dell. But the way the Texans offense has operated the first 3 weeks of the season suggests both these guys are very much in play. So if you have one of them, I think you can start them with confidence, even against the Steelers. Look, the Texans have consistently been playing from behind. That's why C.J. Stroud has thrown the ball 121 times so far this season. So both of those guys very much in play this week. Rams at the Colts. We thought the Colts were going to run the football, and they've done that well. They've done it with Zach Moss. They've done it with Anthony Richardson when he was healthy. What we didn't expect was that they were going to throw the football pretty effectively. Michael Pittman Jr. off to a good start. Does that mean he's a must start right now?
I had Michael Pittman Jr. as a fade coming into the season, and I was very wrong on that. Yeah, I think he's a must-start option right now. He's giving you at least 13 fantasy points in every game. He's gone as high as 23.7. He right now is a top 10 fantasy wide receiver. So I think at this point in the season, we kind of need to forget what some of our thoughts or biases, whatever, we're coming into the season and just look at the numbers. And Michael Pittman Jr. has proved a whole lot of people, myself included, wrong.
I was with you right there, too. And it wasn't about Pittman as in his ability. We just thought the offense wasn't going to be suited to throwing the football. But so far it has. And they have really heavily targeted Michael Pittman in this one. It's to the point now that even a guy like Josh Downs is starting to get become popular off the waiver wire. I think I've picked Downs up in a couple of leagues in the last week or two. So the passing game has become better than we anticipated in Indianapolis. And Michael Pittman at the moment is your wide receiver 10 and should be in a lot of starting lineups. Bucks at the Saints. You mentioned this is a week for revenge games. Jameis Winston, a chance to get some revenge against the team that originally drafted him. Maybe even bigger, though, for the Saints. Alvin Kamara is back after serving a 3-game suspension. What do you expect for number 41 in his season debut?
I'm expecting pretty big things. I am starting Alvin Kamara everywhere I have him, which is quite a few leagues. I know the Bucs run defense on paper looked really tough coming into week 3, and then DeAndre Swift got him for a buck 30. The Eagles went for over 200 as a team. Part of it, I think, is that they faced Alexander Mattison and then the Bears the first 2 weeks. I know the Bucs run defense is still good, though, but Alvin Kamara, there's too much volume up for grabs there. He has 10 career touchdowns against this team. He knows them very, very well. And given the state of the running back position, Marcus, I think like he's a welcomed addition into a lot of people's starting lineups. Go ahead and plug him.
I drafted him in a lot of leagues, hoping I could just cobble something together for the first 3 weeks. I am itching to start Alvin Kamara. You talk about the struggles a lot of people are having at the running back position. I would say the struggles the Saints have are running the football. Through 3 weeks, their leading rusher is Taysom Hill with 91 yards. I don't think that is what they want to happen. That means I think you're going to see Alvin Kamara get fed a little bit. I'm also hoping that Jameis Winston, in addition to throwing those YOLO balls, mixes in a few dump-offs, because Kamara's a lot of his value comes from his ability to catch the football and what he does as a receiver. So hopefully Jameis does not forget that part of the Saints offense as well. Commanders and the Eagles. Sam Howell came crashing back to earth with 4 interceptions against the Buffalo Bills this past week. And at some point, you start to look around. We talked about Jahan Dotson and how we can't really start him until we see something. Even Terry McLaurin has not been particularly great. Any Commanders you feel comfortable starting against this ferocious Eagles defense?
Yeah, I'm trying to get away from all of my Commanders, except for maybe Terry McLaurin, if possible, this week. I have Dotson as a sit. I have Brian Robinson as a sit. This is a game where I think they could be scripted out, and the Eagles have been the toughest run defense in the league. I'm still going to start Terry McLaurin where I have him, reluctantly a little bit. I think they will have to throw the ball in the second half playing catch-up. Terry's been the only one that has kind of been reliable for fantasy, but Sam Howell, man, 19 sacks through 3 games, a lot of turnovers. It's at the point, Marcus, where I am calling for a Jacoby Brissett sighting maybe in Washington.
I think a lot of people are wondering when Jacoby Brissett is going to step in. You know, Howell was okay the first 2 weeks. Week 3 was awful. I will say this, if you want a sneaky, and this is a deep sleeper play, I wouldn't recommend it for everybody. Maybe Antonio Gibson. Maybe this is when the Antonio Gibson thing finally happens. Last week against the Bills, he had his highest snap count that he's had all season long because the Commanders were in catch-up mode, having to throw the football. Now, it didn't necessarily translate to a huge game for him, just 7 receiving yards, lose a fumble. But I think the opportunity is going to be there because I do expect the Commanders to be playing from behind. So Terry McLaurin in play. And if you were feeling dangerous, maybe Antonio Gibson as well. Bengals at the Titans. You talked a little bit about that in terms of streaming defenses. But let's look at the Bengals offense, because in the second half, they kind of got some things going against the Rams. But Joe Burrow was kind of tough to watch for most of the day. What are you doing with Burrow, and what is a great matchup on paper?
Yeah, I know the internet might not love this answer for me, but I'm sitting Joe Burrow if I have the capabilities of doing so. He has not topped 16 fantasy points in a single game this season. He's averaging 8.9 per game. He's completed 1 deep ball, 2 touchdowns in 3 games so far. He just has not looked right. And I know on paper, they give up a lot of pass game production, but They also get a lot of pressure, a little bit above league average, right around what the Browns get, way more than the Ravens and Rams get, his other two opponents. So that has me scared. And it's one of those situations, Marcus, where I think Chase and Higgins are bust candidates this week, but at least one of them will probably have a good game. That's what we've seen kind of week to week out of these two. So I think you have to still start the wide receivers, even though I am saying to sit the quarterback.
I think all of that makes sense, but I'm going to live dangerously and try to believe in Joe Burrow this week. I guess it's more believing in the matchup than Burrow, because the calf is going to be a problem for a while. I think the best thing that you got out of last Monday's game was Burrow coming out of it saying, hey, look, there was no damage. There's no significant damage. It's not worse than it was before. So he's going to have to continue to try to fight through it as much as possible. So I'm just sort of believing that even a hobbled Joe Burrow can get something done against the Tennessee Titans. Now, if it doesn't happen, then I do think we have to have a real serious talk about what you're doing with Joe Burrow on a weekly basis. But this week, I'm willing to give him a chance and believe he can get it done against a very beatable secondary. That'll do it for this edition of the NFL Fantasy Football Show. Stay happy, safe, and healthy. Do good and live well. We'll be back tomorrow to preview the rest of the Week 4 matchups.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.